Welcome to After Dark with Rob and Andrew on America Out Loud, available on iHeartRadio, Spotify, Stitcher, or just about any other audio app. Head on over to the website AmericaOutLoud.com and check out the articles and podcasts, and please share those on social media. We have a big show tonight with Congress candidate Joe Collins. But first off, how are you doing tonight, Rob?
I'm doing good. I'm excited about tonight's show. As you said, we have on with us Joe Collins, who's running for Congress, California, Maxine Waters territory, or as some of them like to refer to her as being, Kerosene Maxine. And we'll explain that a little later, but I'm really glad that someone is challenging this woman, this dinosaur, as I like to say. She's been on the Hill way too long. She's 82 years old. That's not to say that a person who's 82 can't get the job done. But just looking at some of the things that she's done, which has been absolutely nothing but been divisive, what use is she? I can't believe that Californians still have her there and that they're still voting for her. There is my understanding is that where she lives, she's not even living in the district that she claims to be supporting. I don't know how these people manage to do it. These people being the Democrats, how they managed to stay in power for eons and do absolutely nothing but serve as a catalyst to destroy, to obstruct, and just cause complete chaos. Look at some of the things she's done over the past couple of years. More recently, since Trump has been in office, she has incited violence, yes, violence, on Trump supporters. Not too long ago, just the other day, with the Derek Chauvin trial, she was telling some of the rioters, also known as protesters by the Democrats, that they've got to become more confrontational if they didn't get the verdict that she wanted. You can't make this stuff up. And when it was time to censor her, it was as if they were all afraid. And the Speaker of the House, Nancy Pelosi, who's also 81 years old, felt that, Maxine didn't say anything. She's okay. We're not going to touch her. This is wrong. This has to stop. The woman is beyond her prime. She needs to be put out to pasture. And I hope and pray that Californians will wake up and dismiss her and allow a true candidate who's for the people, that will work for the people, who's in the district, who understands the needs of the people, and who will get things passed on behalf of the people. New blood, young blood, someone who has his head on his shoulders correctly. That's what California needs. Out with the old and in with the new. And I think the candidate, in my humble opinion, and I've spoken with this gentleman before, is Joe Collins. He's a no-holds-barred, no-nonsense. He says it like it is. And if you don't like it, so what? He's still running. And that's what I like about it. So we're going to bring him on now, Joe Collins, and he's going to talk to you guys, and he's going to give it to you like Maxine Waters won't give it to you. So without further ado, Joe Collins. Joe, how is it going, my man?
Hey, good evening. It's going really well. How are you?
Doing well. Doing well. We're glad to have you on the show, Andrew.
Yeah, I'm glad to be here. I really appreciate it.
Do you disagree with what I said about Maxine? Because I know that you're a person who will say it the way you mean it. Or what more could I say about that?
It's crazy because I don't disagree with what you said. You know what I'm saying? About anything about Maxine. And the reason why is because I live here in South LA. And she's been in Congress for a long time. And she's been ineffective, to say the least. And she used to be the truth back in the 90s, but it's just like, times has passed up faster than her. And she hasn't done anything, worth talking about here in California, or even on the Hill for that matter. And then the remarks that she made regarding the Derek Chauvin case was, that was inappropriate. It was unacceptable, you know, to say that get more confrontational. We need to be in the streets 24/7, knowing that we are already in a country that's extremely sensitive right now. And that's extremely on edge when it comes to police violence or police brutality against Black people. And right now you're in a position to where you have the opportunity to get a win. You have the opportunity to get a win in a case where there has never been anyone in the history of the United States where a cop has been indicted and charged for killing a Black person. And now you open up your mouth and give the opportunity for the case to be overturned through appeals because of something that you did, because you can't keep your big fat mouth shut.
Right. Her big fat mouth. And you know what's also this interesting about this case is that Ralph Ellison, who's the attorney general for Minnesota, came out the other day and said that he doubts seriously that this case was about race and more so police aggression. And I've said that all along because I don't know what's in Derek Chauvin's heart. Yes, racism exists. It exists everywhere. But to try and just like make everything about race, as the Democrats are doing, I think is inherently wrong. And then for Maxine to come out, like you said, open up her big fat mouth. And it is a big fat mouth. Now, I can say these things because I'm not running. So I'll say it on your behalf, Joe, or you can just say, hey, I'm not saying that he said it, you know, but, you know, I just can't believe this woman is still there. Like you said, in the 90s, she was okay. Maybe she was. I don't know. But what I see now, she's got to go.
Oh, yeah, absolutely. She does got to go. And you know what? Even if she's 81 years old, and I don't think anybody who's 81 could accurately represent me. I mean, it's like asking your great grandmother to represent the country. You absolutely wouldn't do it. You know, she's frail. She needs to retire. She didn't have a run. So, you know, even if just based on her age alone, you know, that's what makes her out of touch. You can add that to Nancy Pelosi. You can add that to Joe Biden. You can add that to any one of the age politicians who've been sitting in office for a very long time.
Well, because they've, like you say, they've lost touch. They've been there so long. They've lost touch with their constituency, and their mindset is still in the 50s or the 60s. I think that's the era that they came up is in the 60s. And we've so far moved beyond that, but they don't want us to. They keep trying to take us back. So Joe, tell us, what would you do if elected? Once you're elected, what would you do for that district?
I think one of the first things that I would do is we got to get quality jobs back into our communities. I mean, hands down, people are failing right now because we don't have quality jobs. The cost of living in California is rising exponentially every single day, especially with Gavin Newsom in office, who has been one of the worst governors in the history of California. This is my opinion. But we got to figure out a way to get the cost of living down. You know, we got to remove restrictions around developments. We have to open up our oil industry back. And we got to get those quality jobs back. After we do that, then we got to improve our education system. I mean, California is ranked number 47 out of 50 states when it comes to education, but we are supposed to be one of the largest economies when it comes to income producing states. And so how is it that our education is so bad? So those are first two things I would tackle, bringing quality jobs back and education.
And you were born and bred in South Central, is that correct?
Yes. I'm from South Central, born and raised.
So you know about the area. What are the people saying?
Well, they tell me a lot. You know, since I started running, especially being a Black Republican, people listen to what I got to say. And they come up to me and they tell me, you know, I've been wanting to be a Republican and come out as a Republican for so long, but I never felt confident. But now that you do, I feel confident because you're so bold about it. Like you're extremely proud to be a Republican. And they also say that Maxine's been sitting in office for a long time. She hasn't done anything for them. And it's time for a change, but they want a change to where it's somebody they can relate to. You know, the last few people who ran against her, first of all, they did terrible. And second, those are not people who everyone wants to relate to.
Okay. So when you say that, they say to you that they too want it to come out. And I've heard this on many occasions. I myself, little did I know, I was in the closet all this time. I was a Republican, but I teetered backwards and forward. And then one day I just decided to come out of the closet and say, no, I am a conservative. Unabashedly, I'm not afraid and I'm not ashamed. Because the ideas on the left, I don't identify with them. I just don't identify with them at all. So how long have you been a conservative Republican, Joe?
You know, I started this whole journey whenever I got into the military. They say you vote for the people who you feel is best going to represent you, and you choose your party based on the values of that party and how they align with you. And so when you look at the Republican Party, how it was started by Black men to end slavery, to have limited government interference in your life, it only makes sense that we are Republican. And everybody talks about this big switch. But at the end of the day, and I hate to use this analogy, but this is the only analogy that I can use to define the current situation. So if you were ever raped and the person who raped you caused tremendous emotional damage, emotional harm to you that's passed down through bloodline to bloodline, if that person go to rehab and say, you know what, I know I raped you, but I'm a changed person, would you still associate with that person? And the answer is going to be no, absolutely not. So you have a Democratic Party that was created by the Ku Klux Klan to persecute, destroy Black families, keep slavery going. And all of a sudden, they're saying, okay, we've changed. And now everybody jumps ship to the Democrat Party, when we have the party that was started for us, by us, that everybody just seems to forget about. And so that's how I feel about it.
And you're right. They seem to have forgotten about it. And now you have the Democrats that are coming out there trying to hijack the narrative. And they're constantly telling conservatives that they're the racist. Everything that Republicans or conservatives do, they're saying it's about racism. The last time I looked, I'm Black. I look at you, you're Black. So how can we be racist against ourselves when we're trying to help our brethren get out or off the plantation? That mental is a mental thing, I think, that they're on this dependency. And you see it nonstop. Now, you also mentioned, you said things that you would do, the cost of living in California and Gavin Newsom. Now, I'm in New York, you're in California, big states. My state is like going down the tubes with our crazy governor who has a whole laundry list of issues. Your governor, even more so Gavin Newsom, because he's now looking at a recall, the cost of living. What the heck is he doing? He's running out the tax base. He's bringing in the homeless or allowing the homeless to populate the city. And he thinks he's doing a good job. Do you think Californians are ready to get rid of him? Do you think they will vote him out? There's a recall, but they could always say, oh, we're going to vote for him again. What do you think? What's on the minds? What's on the pulse of the folks in California?
They're ready to get rid of Gavin Newsom, but
there is a bug.
One thing, because I mean, you know, we're in a Democrat state.
Okay.
And so they want to get rid of Gavin Newsom, but you have all of these Republicans that are hopping in a race. You know, you got Caitlyn Jenner, who, you know, if that, I don't know whether to call him a man or a woman, because technically he's a man, but he feels like a woman, which is that whole issue right there is just, I'm baffled by it. But you got that person that hopped in the race not too long ago. You got John Cox, who got slaughtered, you know, in the last gubernatorial race. You have Kevin Faulkner, who's terrible when it comes to homeless issues. But one thing that you can't ignore is that these are all white men who want to represent California. And these are white men who would have an extremely hard time reaching out to Black communities or even the Democrat communities to gain that support. None of these guys can do it. Even, you know, it's a lot of hopes with Grinnell, who's worked on, he was one of President Trump's ambassadors. And even that situation is like, you have to have somebody who is neutral, somebody who can gain the support from Democrats, but also get the support, the 100% full support of the Republicans in California. And I don't see that with anybody. Maybe, you know, Caitlyn Jenner, because, you know, he's supposed to be the father of the Kardashians. But even with that, I don't think they can pull enough support, even using his fame to win from Democrats.
That's Andrew, we talked about this before, about you know, Caitlyn Jenner. And what you're saying, Joe, is true, I mean, there's a possibility that Gavin could walk right back in there.
Exactly. And I'm pretty sure he's not worried about it. Oh my He's God. Not worried about it right now.
This is horrible. This is horrible. I mean, Rich Grinnell, I thought maybe there's a possibility. Caitlyn Jenner, I was never sold on her, myself, him, whatever. And Andrew and I were talking about it as to whether or not he would be able to pull enough supporters because of his celebrity. I don't like him because I think that she's a party Republican, a country club Republican. Mm-hmm. Rich Grinnell, I thought maybe because of his association with Trump. I mean, back in the day, remember, Ronald Reagan was the governor of California.
Yeah, he was.
So I don't. And then you had Arnold Schwarzenegger. California, it's like true. New York, in a lot of trouble. And I think that Republicans have got to sit down and focus and concentrate and start looking at candidates that are qualified candidates. They knew all along that this election could probably be recalled. What the heck have they been doing? And now I looked at the whole
thing. They didn't think we were going to get the signatures.
Really?
They didn't think we were going to get the signatures. Yeah. You know, like they were stuck at 800,000 signatures until I brought my campaign on board and we did that 28 days of traveling up and down California collecting signatures. Had we not got on board, they would have been stuck because the Republican Party, because of that mindset, they can't reach into Black and Latino communities or even Asian communities to gain that support. And that's what I'm talking about. And then you have a lot of people in the Republican Party who call everybody every single name in a book before being a leader and showing those people the right way to go.
You know,
and so with that mentality, they're never going to win.
You're bringing it. You just said something that I have spoken about before, and that is Republicans opening up their minds, opening up their ideas, and bringing in more people to the party. Like you said a while ago, there are people that are on the sidelines that are Republicans, but they're afraid to say it. And if we don't have Republicans that will stand up, we've got to sit down the old guard because the vote is with the young people. And if you want to bring those people in and you can do it, you've got to open up and you have got to, and I've said this before, you got to go to those Black churches because that's where a lot of Black people congregate. You got to go to those Black barbershops. Yes, you're going to feel uncomfortable because you're the only lily white person who's there. But hey, you got to do what you got to do to bring the people in. The Democrats are winning on this because they're not afraid to do it.
Yeah. And I hear people tell me all the time, oh, you're running in a predominantly Democrat district. You can never win, yada, yada, yada. And, you know, we raised a significant amount of money our last election cycle. And I went balls to the wall. I went for broke in this election. We spent everything in this election. And then we still have people saying, oh, well, you weren't going to win anyway because it's a predominantly Democrat district. And I tell them, I said, listen, the reason why it's predominantly Democrat, because we don't have Republicans in that district reaching out, speaking to people on a level that they can understand. You know, so when we go into that district and we fought Maxine like it was nobody's business. And I have a lot of respect for her as much as I don't like her. But the thing about it is when we went in that district and we actually, you know, we put our boots on the ground and we put in work, we took that district from a D plus 54 to a D plus 24. Now that's 30 points. And that's just putting in the effort that we did. Right. So say that we had an extreme Republican presence in that district. And people were being authentic and speaking in language that people want to hear and showing them that their perception of the Republican Party is not what they thought it was. We win every single time. It's hostile. It's aggressive. You know, it's a little scary at times, but we win all the time. I mean, like 30 points that we changed that district and we're running again. And we're going to put that same effort, even more effort in, you know.
Yeah, well, Joe, it's clear that you've made big strides in your district. What do you think the biggest misconception that Democrats or Black Democrats in your district might have about you since you are a Black Republican?
Well, they were a little curious as to why I'm a Republican, especially from a Democrat district. But after listening to my story, knowing that, you know, I have uncles, they started a lot of the blood gangs in California. My house was shot up in a drive-by. I've been involved in gangs. We moved to Texas. You know, I got my act together, joined the military and got out to get back involved in politics. And actually coming back and going toe-to-toe with the people in the community, now they're like, you're going to run again? Like, we didn't know you the first time, but we know you now. We have our eye out for you, you know? So you want to improve the community, we want to work with you to make that happen. And so we're getting a lot of support, even after we lost, they was like, well, baby, you know, the older Black people, well, baby, it just wasn't time. You was brand new. Run again and we're going to support you. And this is the type of support that we're getting throughout the community.
I got to say, I'm impressed because I see you on Facebook. I see you on social media. You're on your A game and you don't stop and you call balls and strikes. You're not afraid to take on the issues. You're not afraid to take on, and I'm saying this, not Joe, you're not afraid to take on the dinosaur kerosene Maxine. You're out there. And I would encourage everyone who's listening to check out Joe Collins, because he is lean, mean, and he's on fire. And I saw you at the boxing ring once also, you know, jab, jab, left, right. I'm like, wait, this guy is ready to fight. He is ready to go the distance. What kind of support are you getting from Republicans, from the Republican establishment, the GOP? Are they behind you? Because like I said earlier on, they've got to break through whatever issues that they're having, and they have got to start supporting. You are a qualified Black candidate. You're no token. You're not someone that they're just trying to prop up there. You stand on your own and you're doing it. So what type of support are they giving you? And Rona, I hope you're listening to this.
Let me say this right here. Being a first time candidate in a D plus 54 district, there wasn't a seat that the Republicans necessarily had their eye on, especially knowing that Maxine is one of the most powerful women in Congress. But knowing the situation I was in, I think the biggest thing for me was not expecting any help, because this was not a mission that the Republicans set out to fight. This was my mission to improve my community. And so after gaining that understanding and knowing the situation I was in, I was able to create a machine to where I can be viable and sustainable with my campaign without the help of the Republican Party. Now, you know, I've put myself in a position, thanks to my team, to where, you know, I don't necessarily have to look towards the Republican Party for help. Now, what we do now is we create partnerships on certain missions and things like that, which I think is absolutely wonderful. But when it comes to the question of, is the party supporting me? I would say that they're really good people. If you can prove that you are a person that is a fighter and someone worth fighting for, and you're not just running for name ID. And so I have a lot of respect from the establishment Republican Party itself, because we've been able to do something that has never been done before. And that's change a district from a D plus 54 to D plus 24, create a machine to where we can raise money, we can hire and fire, and we can work effectively to flip this district. So does the party support me? I'm going to say yes. I think they support my mission. I think they support what it is that we've been doing. And they've allowed me the freedom and opportunity to be able to move in a manner that's positive for the party, but it's also positive for my community. And I think they are taking notes from what we did in our district to be able to reach out to Black and Latino communities.
Well, I think you're doing a hell of a job. And the party should get behind you, because we need people like you. We need new blood like you out there front and center, because you can identify with a lot of people in the Latino and the Black community, which is something that, let's just be honest, the GOP has not always been good at. How many Black senators do we have there? And I'm not trying to make this like an identity politics type of thing, but let's just face it. The face of America is changing, and we need people out there that will represent people that look like them. You're on fire. You're there. And they should be behind you. I mean, it should be a no issue, you or Maxine. If they were to get behind you, throw money behind you, I mean, this could work. I would love to wake up and see that there was an upset and that you are the person who did it. I've seen you on, like I said, on Facebook, social media. I've seen you on a lot of the cable news, and you're talking, you're doing the talk, and you're walking the walk. So aside from all that, tell us who Joe Collins the man is. We know that you're military background, but what else? Let's let the people know who you are.
Well, Joe Collins is a U.S. Navy veteran, a father, I'm a brother, I'm an uncle from South Central Los Angeles. I genuinely care about South L.A. I genuinely do. I feel like this is my home. And they always say that, especially in the Black community, this is something we hear on a regular basis. Once you become successful, you always have to come back and give to your community. Now, my community is underserved, and I think that it's time to change. And I also think that we're beyond the scope of simply voting for someone because of a political party preference. And so this is a message that I've been able to give to everybody. You know, I may be a Republican, you may be a Democrat, but we're all struggling out here. You know, nobody's struggling more than the other person. We're all struggling at the same rate. And it's because of the leadership that we've been, I'm not going to say blessed with, but we've been able to have.
So you're looking at both Democrats, Republicans, whomever, to come in and vote for you because you have what it takes to take it to the next level, something that Maxine hasn't done. Now, you just said something else that I think is very important. You are a father. Are you a single parent?
Me and my ex-wife are split up, yeah.
Okay, but you're in that child's life.
I have four children. Yeah, I'm actively involved in my children's life.
Oh my
god! No taxation without representation.
Here we go. Another layer. Here is another layer. Yeah. A Black man with kids who's in the lives of the kids. And we've been talking about that. Black man being in the lives of their kids. And without hesitation, we need that. We need strong Black men like you out there representing, doing the walk. Because there are so many others that are derelict in their duties, and some of them just don't know how to be a father. Some of them don't know how to be a man. Go ahead. You're laying it out there, Joe. Come on, give it to me.
Yeah. Black men never get a lot of credit when it comes to being a father. You know what I'm saying? Like, it happens all the time. And, you know, one of my biggest support base are young Black fathers. And they say, you know, we've never had anybody to stand up for the Black man. Like, we get dogged by Black women, by media, by everything, just for being a father. And sometimes Black men do have a hard time trying to be a father. When you look at the job market, you know, it's not a lot of quality jobs for Black men to be able to get into, especially from the inner city. You look at the laws that have been put in place, you know, women have to choose between taking government assistance and getting rid of your man. It's just like, these are things that we have to deal with on a regular basis.
Oh, brother, you are breaking
over and over and over.
You're breaking it down. I like this.
Yep.
I like this. And this is a kind of talk we need. Where is Rona McDaniel? She should be sending checks your way. I mean, like you said, Black men are talking to you. That's a key demographic that conservatives need, because from what I've seen, a lot of Black men are conservatives. Now, I know we see these stories on TV about Black men not doing this and Black men not doing that, but a lot of them get up every doggone day and try to make a difference and take care of their kids like you're doing. And like you said, you're there and you can talk the talk.
Yeah. Joe. Well, the issues are important to me, you know.
You got to win this, man. I'm serious. You have got to win this. We need you. Anytime you want to come on Robin Andrew After Dark, you got my number. Call us up. Okay. We have an audience now. We're on iHeart. We want your story out there because we need the world to see that this is what a real Black man is. He gets up and he does it. Like you said, you proved yourself. You weren't waiting for the GOP to send you a check. You started going door to door doing your thing. And then they realized, wait, this guy is serious.
Yeah. Well, we made a lot of mistakes on this journey too. Mm-hmm. And we learn from our mistakes. And one of the biggest mistakes that I see people doing a lot is complaining about, oh, the GOP didn't help me, yada, yada, yada. And it's like, well, how are you helping yourself? Because the same socialist mindset that you have now is the same socialist mindset that you're supposed to be fighting against. And, you know, if you want help, well, what does the Bible say? I can help a man who can help himself. Or if you teach a man how to fish, you know, he'll eat forever. But if you bomb a fish, then he only eat once. That's the same thing in politics. You have a lot of candidates who want somebody to help them when they can't even help themselves. And so that's not me.
And there is a spiritual side also. Here it is, all wrapped up. He's giving it to us. Now, I don't know what Auntie Maxine, also known as Kerosene Maxine, also known as Maxine Waters, I don't know what she's bringing to the table, what she has at the table. But I can tell you right now, Joe Collins is looking at education. He's looking at bringing more jobs to the community. He lives in the community. He understands the community. He is a Black man, a Black father. He's laying it out there. And he's looking at Republicans, Democrats, Independents. He wants your vote. This is your.
Yeah, and if you want to help Joe Collins, please visit joecollinsforcongress.com and you can donate to his campaign there. You guys are tuned in to After Dark with Rob and Andrew, available on America Out Loud via iHeartRadio, Spotify, Stitcher, Apple Podcasts, or download the America Out Loud app to keep track of all the great shows. We will be right back.
Hello, this is Lieutenant Randy Sutton, the host of Blue Lives Radio, the voice of American law enforcement. I am a 34-year police veteran. I am also the founder and CEO of an organization that stands behind injured and disabled law enforcement officers. It is called The Wounded Blue. Our website is thewoundedblue.org. We have produced a film. It is an important film. I urge you to watch it. The film details what happens when a police officer or law enforcement officer is shot or stabbed or beaten or disabled, seriously injured in the line of duty. Most people think they are taken care of medically and financially. The reality may be quite different. It is called The Wounded Blue, Service, Sacrifice, Betrayed. The film is available on Amazon, iTunes, and the Microsoft Store.
While the cancel culture is determined to destroy our history, bringing violence and terror to city streets, America Out Loud will enhance its own message of love and honor for the American traditions and constitutional values that have always been the backbone of what America means: life, liberty, and the pursuit of happiness. America Out Loud Talk Radio. Liberty and justice for all.
And we're back for the second half of After Dark with Rob and Andrew. I don't know about you guys, but Joe Collins, he's really impressive. And I think the fact that he's running for Congress in California in Maxine Waters' district, or the district that she doesn't live in, but she represents, South Central, I think it's great that he's running because she needs to be challenged. It's unbelievable and hard to fathom that she has been in office for almost three decades and has accomplished absolutely nothing. Like, what is she doing besides gaining power, getting rich, and creating animosity between the different races? And as I said in the last segment, she got her start with the whole Rodney King deal. And if some of you there weren't born or too young to remember it, I mean, go to DuckDuckGo and search it for yourself. But just to give you a high level understanding as to what happened, Rodney King was a Black motorist. He was stopped by, four police officers. They stopped him and he was resisting and they beat the crap out of him. Okay, so there was a trial and they got off, and Rodney King was notorious for making the statements, "Can't we all get along?" Now, he got a huge settlement for that ass kicking that he got, but because the cops weren't found guilty, pandemonium ensued and they burned down the place. I mean, Black businesses, Asian businesses, they just lit it on fire. And apparently Maxine Waters was known for saying, "Burn it down." Hence, she got the moniker Kerosene Maxine. And like I said, they burned it down. And at the same time, Johnny Cochran, who was a famed attorney, Black guy also, represented, I think, a truck driver who happens to be white, who was attacked during the riots at the time, represented the guy, and the guy got a huge settlement. So that's the story behind Kerosene Maxine. Again, go to DuckDuckGo and you can do your own independent research. But I say that just to put it into context as to what this woman has not done during her time in office. She's done absolutely nothing but been an instigator, divisive. And now we have someone like Joe Collins who lives in the area and who's going to challenge her. And I take my hat off to him. He has four kids, Black man, four kids, served in the military. and he is actively involved in his kid's life. We need black men like that, because what the left is telling us is that black men aren't good. Get the black man out of the house so that the woman can go on welfare and she can become the welfare queen and do all this other stuff. It's so far from that. This is a man who is down with the cause and is willing to get out there and take on this old dinosaur, as I referred to her in the last segment. And it's not going to be easy, because when you have black conservatives that are out there, Andrew, they will rip them to shreds.
Right. And then you look at Maxine Waters and her decades in Los Angeles as a congresswoman. What has she gotten accomplished for the black people in Los Angeles? I mean, you're talking about the homeless crisis, which is huge, the influx of illegals, which are stealing their jobs, the high taxes in California. How are they going to compete with that? Joe Collins is making great progress, as he mentioned to us. The district was a plus 54 for Democrats before he ran. Now it's only a plus 24. Joe Collins got almost 80,000 votes last time he ran, and he's going to have even more momentum coming into the next election against Maxine Waters. It's going to be very interesting to see if he can continue to grow the base there in LA, because I say, what do they got to lose?
What do they have to lose? This young man is out there. He's willing to do it. He has new ideas. And he's not the old from the old school. This is a young man with brand new ideas. He sees the problems of the people. And something that he said during our talk with him is that a lot of other black men support conservative ideas, but they're afraid to say it. And they've been coming up to him saying, hey, man, what you're saying, we support it. We've been afraid to say anything about it. Why are they afraid? They'll get canceled, or they'll get attacked, or they might lose a job, and then other black people will attack them. And it's wrong. And we talk about this all the time on the show. So if you don't want to hear it, okay, fine, but I'm going to keep talking about it. Black people are not monolithic in their voting habits. We are not monolithic. The Democratic Party would like for you to think that. They want you to think that blacks are oppressed by white people and that we can't think for ourselves and that when we do vote, we only vote for Democrats. No, 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 no. That's not the case. Joe Collins, I present to you Joe Collins. Different cut from a different cloth, and he's willing to challenge Maxine. And I think during their first challenge when he was running in 2020, I mean, the lies that she came out and told, and he had to go to court. And now she sees that he's serious. So, of course, she's going to put all of her henchmen out there to attack him. But, Andrew, something that you said, what has she done during her two decades on the Hill? She's done absolutely nothing besides sow the seeds of discord and to tell black people that the white people are after them. No, a woman in her position, you would think that she would have authored or sponsored a bill or two or more. But the only thing she has is the same old rhetoric of racism. They're doing black people this way. They're doing black people wrong. And it happened back in 1992 with Rodney King, and it's still happening. Well, Maxine, if it was happening now, why haven't you introduced a bill to change it? Why is it that all of this discrimination that you're talking about is happening in black communities where Democrats are in control? Why is it? Can someone answer that question? Why is it that black people are always affected by the policies of the left in those communities? Why hasn't it stopped? Shameful. And the only thing she has to say about it is, well, you know, we're being oppressed and we need to stand up. As a white man, and I always bring this to you, Andrew, because you are the white man on the show and I'm the black man. When you hear this, what are your thoughts?
Yeah, it's definitely something that we've heard for a long time from Maxine Waters. As you mentioned, back in 1992, she was doing the race baiting and getting the black community riled up. And here we are again in 2021. She was just in Brooklyn Center in Minnesota and she basically threatened that they would burn down the cities if they did not get the results they wanted in the George Floyd trial. And then you have Joe Biden, who came out and basically said the same thing Maxine Waters did, that they need to convict Chauvin. And then at the State of the Union recently, Joe Biden has come out and said that George Floyd, the same guy who held a gun to his pregnant girlfriend's stomach, changed the world and was talking about him like he's some kind of hero. It's just baffling to me that this is who the liberal Democrats want to focus on as the heroes of the black community.
And it's embarrassing. It's embarrassing that we want to put someone like George Floyd as a hero to the black community. George Floyd, a criminal. George Floyd, who lost his life, he should not have lost his life that way. It is very sad, unfortunate, but that shouldn't have happened. And I don't know what was in Derek Chauvin's heart. I don't think it was had to do with racism, as a lot of the people on the left are saying. And even the attorney general in Minnesota, Keith Ellison, said that it had nothing to do with racism. So I say to him, but you've been peddling this all this time, and now you're saying that it has nothing to do with racism? Okay, fine, because we were telling you that it didn't. Okay, but just going back to Maxine, I mean, that's the only thing they could get the attention, people's emotions, by calling racism and saying that everything is racism. Other than that, they've done absolutely nothing for the Black community, but introduce more policies that are going to tie them down. As Joe said, you go there to California, Maxine is living in a mansion. Now, if everything is so racism, how the heck is she living in a mansion? Don't you think the Jim Crow police would come out and drag her out and say, get out of this mansion, you don't belong there? But it hasn't happened, because this whole systemic thing is just bull. And when they see other Blacks like Joe, I envision him as being something like, someone who's trying to free the people, Black people, from this oppressive demagoguery that, oh, you're oppressed and you're down, like a woman called Moses. He's a man called Moses who's saying, hey, I'm trying to bring you out. I want to get you out of this. There's more to life than what Democrats are telling you. There's more. And if you can stop focusing on that and get out there and look at the jobs, he says he wants to bring more jobs to South Central. South Central is still hemorrhaging from the riots that took place in 92 from Rodney King. Nancy Pelosi said nothing about it. Like you said, Andrew, pointed out, and I like that. She said, burn it down during the Rodney King. And with George Floyd, she's saying, get confrontational. And if they don't write right, we've got to show them. Get more confrontation. Show them that we mean business. And no one is calling these people out. These race baiters, these lawless people, no one is calling them out. And why? The media won't call them out because they're afraid of them. They're in the pockets of the Democrats, so they're not going to call them out. A lot of the corporations are afraid of them. They are afraid that Black Lives Matter will come and protest on their door, so they won't call them out. They don't believe in what these people are saying, but they're afraid of them. A lot of people felt that the jury verdict from Derek Chauvin was out of fear. I happen to think it was the right decision. That's all they have. It's the scare tactic. So the people are acquiescing to a lot of this demagoguery and afraid to come out and speak the truth and say, hey, we got to stop this. In order to bring the country together, we've got to stop it. Joe Biden, and it's recent, not too long ago, but it wasn't a State of the Union speech. It was a speech to empty chairs, was saying that, like you said, George Floyd changed the world. Changed the world how? By taking away $27 million, I'm going back to that, and giving it to the family. And what the heck are they going to do? I heard that they donated, I think 100,000 to the George Floyd Square, which is riddled with crime. If you go there, there are rules for white people as to how they should behave and what they can and they can't do. What is that reminiscent of Jim Crow South, when they told Blacks, you can't drink here, you can't sit there? We're reverting back to this. That's what's happening. We're reverting back. Everything that whites in the South had done to Blacks by saying, you can't sit here, you can't eat here, you can't sit at this corner, this counter, you can't drink from this fountain. All of those repressive, racist laws and policies, you have Blacks pushing them now, and liberal whites. Liberal whites are the worst and the most dangerous people out there. They're the ones that are creating this division between the races, along with the Black politicians who have their hands out trying to shake people down for money. So Joe Collins, more power to you. Get out there and do your thing. And people should definitely take a look at him and listen to what he's saying. Stop attacking him. Stop saying that he's an Uncle Tom, which is a nasty derogatory term that a lot of Blacks will use when they don't like a Black person who doesn't share their ideas, their policies of liberalism. They will call them an Uncle Tom, the guy. They'll call the woman a Aunt Polly. That's bad. It's just wrong and it's nasty. And we've got to stop this. We have to stop it, because this man has his eyes on the prize, and he sees that, hey, Black people have been put down, not by white liberals, but by Black politicians like Maxine, living in a mansion, driving a Mercedes or BMW or some other luxury car, all the while telling Black people that they're holding you back. But she was able to climb out of this pullback. You got to wake up, folks. What they sold to you is a bunch of lies.
You nailed it, Rob. People like Maxine Waters, white liberals, and mainstream media are holding the puppet strings here in this whole scenario. You've got situations in Louisville, Kentucky, and Seattle, Washington, two liberal Democrat cities, and you've got police officers refusing to work there. Both cities have lost over 200 police officers in the past year and are desperate for help, but they can't find anybody to want to work there. If this keeps going on, are cops just going to end up ignoring some of these calls because it's not worth it to them to go answer them?
And do you blame them? Absolutely not. Why would you put your life on the line to protect and to serve when you know that, hey, I've got to make a split second decision to protect and to serve. And when I make that split second decision, I'm going to be questioned. I am going to be attacked. And I'm going to be told you did the wrong thing. Just recently, look at the situation in Minnesota, whereby the Black girl, 16 years old, was about to kill or stab another Black girl. No one has mentioned anything about the Black girl whose life wasn't taken, who survived thanks to the police officer. No one has said anything about her, but they're making the other 16-year-old out to be some little angelic angel. Oh, and she was doing her hair. She was a typical 16-year-old. Oh, and she was so sweet. And oh, she was so this. Really? Well, why does she have a knife in her hand? And there's this whole idea that, oh, that's just a fight. You know, kids bring knives to school all the time. Yes, they do bring knives to school all the time. And those knives are apprehended. And the kid is suspended. As expelled from school. So why is it that we should view the city differently? Why is it that we should look at her situation and go, oh, well, she was just a kid. She was a violent kid who should not have had a knife. But see, these are the excuses that you have people on the left, white liberals and Blacks, they want to make up these excuses and say things like, oh, here we go again, killing a kid, killing a baby. Well, that was a bad child. She was a bad seed and she got what she deserved. I hate to say it, but let's just be honest, because had the police not thought within that split second, some other family would be burying their child, their daughter. I mean, Kaya, that was the girl who got shot, would be out doing something again, because she probably would have went to jail and they probably would have let her out to harm someone else. So it's unfortunate, but she got what she deserved. When you play with fire, you get burned. I'm just speaking the truth. A lot of people might not like it, but we've got to start being honest.
Yeah, the mental gymnastics that the mainstream media did on that one to make it look like this Kaya was somehow in the right or she did not deserve what she got was unbelievable. They tried to act like, oh, everybody's seen kids have knife fights before.
You're right.
No, not really. I don't think most of us have. This police officer in that situation, it was an obvious situation of him doing the right thing. And he saved that young woman's life. And I think her parents or any other kid's parents that had a psycho coming at their kid with a knife would be happy that the police officer did what he did.
Right. And what you bet that the girl whose life was saved, they probably terrorized her into silence. Don't give an interview. Don't talk to anyone. Because if you do, so she's probably living in fear right now that if she were to say anything and thank the police officer, which she did at the time, the day of, a reporter said, what happened? And she said, well, this girl was trying to stab me and the police shot her. They told her to stop and they shot her. But that's all we've heard from her. And if you go to her family, they probably said, oh, keep quiet, because if you don't, they're going to come after you. Black Lives Matter will come after us, which is reminiscent of the KKK. When Black people would speak up and say, hey, this white person did this, the KKK would be at their front door. So the analogy that I'm drawing here is that Black Lives Matter, a radical racist group, is akin to the KKK. They're the flip side. They're the Black side of the KKK. Call me out on it all you want to, but that's the analogy that I'm making. Black lives matters. Yeah, Blacks, their lives do matter. But when you have a terrorist organization like that that's out there, it doesn't matter. And it's really unfortunate that the left are trying to paint all Trump supporters as being white supremacists. I'm Black and I support Trump. I can't be a white supremacist. But they're not telling you that because they control the media. And when I hear all these people that are coming here from other countries that are trying to buy into the same thing, I'm like, I don't want to hear what you have to say. Put a lid on it. Shut your potty mouths. The only reason why you're agreeing with them is because you're looking at taking, taking, taking. But the moment that woke crowd turns on you, you'll be saying something completely different. So again, I will repeat, Black Lives Matter, the analogy is that they are KKK. And that poor girl whose life was saved, if they don't want to say anything about it, my heart goes out to her because she could be dead, resting in peace. Unfortunately, Makaya is the person who had the knife, who was looking at causing harm. And you see this all over in our big cities. Look at California. Look at California and Gavin Newsom. Andrew, what are your thoughts on Gavin Newsom and the recall? I hope they get rid of it. I do.
Yeah, Gavin Newsom's been a complete disaster. Obviously, the lockdowns that just went on way, way too long and are still going on to a certain extent in California really turned off a lot of the voters in California. Besides even just Republicans, this is now a lot of Democrats who are included on this Gavin Newsom recall. I really hope they get rid of the guy. I do not think that he is a good governor for sure. And I'd like to see him stay away. I don't want to see him come back on a national level here in a few years running for president either.
Well, you know, that was a rumor that there was a possibility that they were grooming him, the Democrats, to run for president or run for Senate or some other high office. I know that Adam Schiff was also looking at him. We can't forget about Pencil Neck, as the late departed, rest in peace, Rush Limbaugh would so kindly refer to him as being Pencil Neck. He's looking at running for governor also. That would be a complete disaster, a complete disaster. The last time they had a Republican for governor was Ronald Reagan. That was years ago. California used to be a red state. For somehow, these crazy liberals got in there and just...
Just to correct you, Schwarzenegger was a Republican as well.
Yep. I forgot about Schwarzenegger. So it was Ronald Reagan and then Schwarzenegger. But, you know, was he really a Republican? He was just an entertainer, you know, when I think about it. He was an entertainer. But yeah, he did serve a couple of terms, and he did nothing for the state either, because at the time they had a recall of, I think it was it Wilson? They had a recall of him, and then Schwarzenegger came in, and because of his popularity, they decided, oh, let's vote for him. He did absolutely nothing. Okay, but bang up his housekeeper and got her pregnant, and then he had a kid who was working in the same house with his wife. So that's all he did. But hey, that's Hollywood. They say nothing about it. They say nothing about it. They're okay with that because it happens on the left. On the social scene, you have homeless people all over. I used to visit San Francisco, beautiful, gorgeous city. But now you go there, you have homeless campgrounds, homeless on the sidewalk, homeless all over. And we're trying to show them compassion by allowing them to live on the streets, defecating on the streets. They're turning these cities into third world countries.
Right. I don't know about New York City, but when I spent some time in San Francisco, it's not just the homeless that sticks out to you. It's just the blatant drug use right on the open streets here in America. You see people shooting up drugs. Doesn't matter who's walking by, right in downtown San Francisco. It's just something that I'd like to never get used to, that's for sure.
I don't want to get used to it either. Now, we don't have that as much. I live in Manhattan, but I've heard that in the outer boroughs, parts of Brooklyn and the Bronx. Now that I think about it, Harlem, which is in Manhattan, you would probably see that. You know, needles on the streets, definitely in Queens. Well, that was in New York City of the 70s. Why are we going back to that? Why is California allowing that to come back? Why? I'll tell you why. Because the Democrats that are in control don't know how to govern. They don't know how to govern. So they're okay with this free-for-all. They're okay with the crime. They're okay with the drug use. They're okay with homeless people living on the streets, defecating on the streets. Now, if you have to clean up after your pet, who's going to clean up after the homeless people when they're using the bathroom on the streets? Who's going to do it? And where is all this money going that these states are getting? Well, I know some of it we're giving to sanctuary cities. We're giving to people who never paid taxes, never will be paid taxes, but will always be a burden on taxpayers. It's going to them. Why is that? Why can't liberals wake up and realize that this plan doesn't work? This playbook does not work. We need something else.
And there's more money in California than a majority of the countries in the world. I mean, the economy of California is insane. You look at Hollywood, you look at big tech, and somehow the little people, the people like in South Central LA, are not getting any help despite the economy of California.
Big tech rules the day. Big tech, they're buying up business spaces, office spaces here in New York City. But what are they contributing to society to clean up this mess? Absolutely nothing. They're okay with it. Because half of them aren't even paying taxes because they've been given all these incentives to open up jobs and to create jobs. And I get it, folks.
Yeah, I really liked how Joe Collins was honest about where he stands as well. He said, conservatives have a problem with me, certain ones, especially ones that say are North Dakota or Wyoming or something like that. But they don't understand the needs that I need to bring to Congress living in an inner city full of Black people. He's got an extra responsibility to those people in his community.
Right. And like you said, he's living there. So he knows, he feels the pain. He sees what's happening. His finger is on the pulse of the community. Unlike, you know, Maxine Waters, who's living in a mansion and is always flying to DC or going to other states to create havoc and then telling people, oh, hey, you know, go out and protest and do this and do that. You know, it has to stop. And then just going back to when you mentioned Hollywood, California, rich state, all this money, money galore. And you have the Hollywood elites that are telling people, oh no, we need to take this away. We need to let more people come here. We need to let more illegals come here because that's who we are. And we need to defund the police. Meanwhile, they're protected behind guarded gates. Can't get to them. You know, Andrew, when I hear these stories about Hollywood, their apartments or houses were broken in, I really don't believe it. I take it with a grain of salt. I'm like, because these people have security systems and they have bodyguards. How the heck are you able to get around all of that to rob them? I sometimes think it's just a hit job that they created themselves.
So you didn't believe it when LeBron James got the N-word and all this other racist profanity written on his garage?
Absolutely not. No, not that it didn't happen. But I'm like, who did he pay?
Who did
his manager pay? Because he would have a security camera.
Exactly.
You know, and if it did happen, when you look at it, folks, sorry about the ambulance, but I'm living in New York City, you know, so you're going to hear all that. But back to my point, you know, when you're living, when you have that type of security and you have the cameras, you can always say, okay, this is the person who did it. And then when you roll back the camera, play back the camera, it's either LeBron James who did it, his cousin Rocco, or his old friend who happens to be a thug who probably did it. But the person always happens to be a Black person that the acquaintance know. You know, so hey, I'm just calling it the way it is. But I find it hard to believe when they say someone wrote the N-word and all this other stuff out there and they vandalized this. I'm like, seriously? Where was the security camera? Where was the security guard?
Then there's zero footage of it.
Right. Right.
You never heard another word about it again.
Right. Oh, the camera, it had played out. Like, really? Something that important? I don't believe that. It makes no sense. It's like they're just telling us this for us to get all revved up. Because when you really look at it, it's like, that's not what happened. You know, so again, you know, these Hollywood big elites, they say this stuff, they put it out there. But when you really start looking at it and saying, okay, does this make a whole lot of sense? You know, who would have like got beyond security and was able to write all this graffiti and no one noticed? And then someone say, well, he wasn't home at the time. Yeah, but he had the groundskeeper. And if that person was asleep, fire that person. But again, you have the security camera. It just doesn't make a whole lot of sense. And I don't buy it.
And lot of people just take things like that at face value. But we saw in the Jussie Smollett situation, a lot of times that when you do dig deep into these hate crimes, a lot of them are hoaxes, especially when it's a celebrity entertainer that's trying to say that they've had a hate crime committed against them.
Yep, absolutely. That's exactly what happens. When you start looking deeper and digging deeper, as I always say, peeling back the onion to see what happened, then you realize that, wow, this can't make any sense, but no one says anything about it. It goes unreported as far as the follow-ups, and that's it. And then we're left to believe this lie. And then later on, when they're talking about it, someone will always say, oh, well, yeah, but they came after LeBron James also because they wrote this on his garage door and they put graffiti. And then you say, yeah, but you do realize that they never followed up on that. And with all the money that he has, don't you think he would have said, I want to find the culprit just in case they're after my family? But you don't hear it. It just fades away. They put it out there and then boom, you hear no more about it. So yeah, I don't believe these stories when they talk about it. It's just a way of trying to pivot or get you to start talking about something else as opposed to looking at the real issue that LeBron James is living in a big mansion. He has all this money. He has all these sports cars and he can write a check for anything. So how the heck is he being discriminated against? How the heck is there systemic racism when he has all this? A majority of the people that go to these games are white people. So where is the systemic racism? Again, you gotta think. It's just common sense. When you sit down and just write it all out and chart it all out, you will see that it makes no sense. There's nothing behind it. They're just pulling your chain, trying to get an emotional reaction from you. And that's it. So California, good luck with Maxine Waters. If you guys want to keep her, I would say dump her and look at another candidate. And we have, you know, Joe Collins, who's been on our show. He'll come on again.
That's right. And if you want to help support Joe Collins once again, you go to joecollinsforcongress.com. Thank you all for joining us tonight on After Dark with Rob and Andrew here on America Out Loud. Check out all the great shows over at americaoutloud.com, or of course, go to iHeartRadio, Spotify, Stitcher, or just about any other audio app, and you will be able to find America Out Loud and all of the great shows. Until next time, thank you guys for listening, and stand for something or you will fall for nothing.